Welcome to Access Ideas. This is Yana, and today I want to tell you a few reasons why Jane Austen novels turned into my version of an escapist fantasy, and also why being wrong is sometimes the best discovery that you can make. So many of us read things based on our friends' opinions or what we're forced to read in school. And once we make up our minds about a genre or a particular type of reading or material, we think that's just not for me. I will never enjoy that. I will never read it. Today, I want to talk about why I was wrong about Jane Austen. And as it turns out, I ended up loving Jane Austen's novels long after I ever was forced to read them. And I hope that you can make a similar discovery for yourself. Yes, you heard that correctly. Novels written in the Regency era, set in the English countryside, and various drawing rooms help transport me more effectively than any dystopian, futuristic, space-age, intergalactic, quote-unquote, fantasy novel. First, a confession. I did not complete the assigned reading of Jane Austen in my 19th century English literature class, and I'm not proud of this, but I was more interested in American literature and poetry at the time, and I felt Jane Austen didn't really offer any excitement or intrigue. I was so uninterested in Austen's work in university that I stooped to reading summaries and skimming over excerpts. I was more interested in reading Edgar Allan Poe, and perhaps that was for the best, since I was saving my future self the 19th century equivalent of an epic binge-worthy TV series. So recently, I found myself in search of a new audiobook and something that would really hook me in and capture my imagination. And I tried my usual go-to of trashy thrillers, but I just couldn't pay attention. I also tried out some popular science and behavioral psychology, because I'm a fan of that, but I found my mind wandering. And then I opened my Audible app, hoping to find an old friend. I played one of Jane Austen's most beloved works, Pride and Prejudice, which is irresistibly narrated by Rosamund Pike, if you ever want to check it out. And even though I just finished reading this less than a month ago, I found I could understand characters differently this time, with much of the story still fresh in my mind. Now, on a side note, I've often turned to historic fiction for entertainment, but now I find too much of it seems written as a corrective to past wrongs. To be fair, maybe this was always the case, and historic fiction is primarily an act of wish fulfillment, like Quentin Tarantino films that punish historic wrongs with bloodthirsty enthusiasm. But mediocre historic fiction, to me, often seems mostly intent on reminding us who the baddies were, lest we forget that Nazis were evil and slavery was wrong. The nuances and ambiguity of character can fall prey to an author's overt intention to show that although their given hero happens to live within a past era we associate with ignorance and misery, this particular character has the good sense to believe in 21st century progressive ideals with secret or not so secret fervor. So we have popular fiction featuring protagonists in medieval England who barely give a thought to religion, and numerous characters set in 19th century America who openly proclaim that slavery is wrong. All of this is exhausting in its determined attempt to fit our contemporary ideals. I think this stems from our unfortunate tendency to believe we must like a protagonist in order to invest our time in their story. Also, too often, mediocre historic fiction imposes contemporary sensibilities, like our obsession with efficiency, and you'll see this in the pacing and dialogue of some pretty bad historic fiction. Perhaps the pleasure of Austen storytelling is that it forces us to slow down. We imagine ourselves living the leisurely pace of the English gentry who spend hours and days even waiting for correspondence by which their lives turn. To be clear, nobody is ever multitasking in an Austen novel. The speed of life feels languid and wondrously luxurious. Characters have time to think about conversations from days before and analyze them from multiple angles without the slightest hint of being rushed. They cheerfully talk about what they plan to wear for future social events, and written correspondence has the power to occupy entire days of conversation. The 21st century hurriedness that threatens to overwhelm us seems as bizarre and fantastic in Austen's world as discussing the latest innovations in candle wax seems quaint to us in 2022. And like many of the best literary classics, Austen's characters can amuse us. We don't necessarily want to be friends with Emma Woodhouse, but her manipulative behavior and class snobbery, well, they seem fairly historically accurate and hilarious. I now find Austen's work irresistible. There's something soothing and intimate about shutting out the world with my noise-canceling headphones to listen to a narrator capture the essence of genteel early 19th century social exchanges. I can feel my heart rate slowing down while I'm drawn into conversations about who plays the pianoforte best. I'm hardly alone here. In the UK, Austen experienced a sales rise of 20% throughout much of 2020 compared to 2019. And last December saw the 245th anniversary of her birth, and her popularity, it only seems to be getting stronger. So what is it about Austen's work that keeps us perpetually entertained? According to Wikipedia, Jane Austen was an English novelist known primarily for her six major novels, which interpret, critique, and comment upon the British landed gentry, that is, aristocrats with land, at the end of the 18th century. Austen's plots often explore the dependence of women on marriage in the pursuit of favorable social standing and economic security. And her works critique the novels of sensibility of the second half of the 18th century and are considered part of the transition to 19th century literary realism. Now, that's all true, but what is it about her writing that today pulls us in? And I believe it's her use of irony, which feels very familiar to us, along with her realism, humor, and social commentary that still stings. This has certainly earned her a place with critics, scholars, and also with popular audiences. Although she was just 41 years old when she died, her work grew in popularity in the 20th century and continues to inspire and intrigue us. Like all female authors of the time, Austen published anonymously, and her work was attributed to by a lady. But after the success of her debut, the author was credited as by the author of Sense and Sensibility, since that was a hit in her own day. The BBC's Eloise Wood has a great article about what Jane Austen can teach us about resilience. And she mentions the sensation of feeling both trapped and surrounded by familial friction as a prevalent element in Austen's work. And this is something most of us can relate to. For many Austen protagonists, walks are often the most liberating thing on offer. For example, in Pride and Prejudice, Elizabeth Bennet appears to strive for freedom by striding about the countryside and getting muddy, enjoying peace away from her overcrowded family life. This is not the only element of escape. Austen's writing was so strongly associated with providing solace that she was actually prescribed to World War I soldiers suffering from severe shell shock, or what we now call PTSD. On a final note, I know I'm in good company here. In some ways, Austen's legacy is the vast numbers of Janeite fans who've created a market for fan fiction and period dramas that might have prevented me from becoming interested in Austen all those years ago. But those fans are on to something, as the success of Netflix's 2020 Bridgerton romance series indicates. It's not mere frippery and puffed sleeves, though. As much as I appreciate a sumptuous costume drama, I'm glad I took the time to go back to the original source material. What keeps my attention and engages me most? It's Austen's language, The conversational pace feels moderate enough to keep my attention while I can luxuriate in the fantasy of a totally different world. I'm glad I was wrong about Jane Austen, because I now have a solid reading list of guaranteed enjoyment. If you've held off reading Austen for similar reasons, I hope I'll make you reconsider. So you might be wondering, why does any of this matter? I don't like Jane Austen. I never plan to watch a Jane Austen-based movie or read a Jane Austen book. Well, I wanted to share an example of how I was wrong. I love literature. I love stories. And yet, for most of my life, I wrote off Jane Austen as something that didn't really matter, something that wasn't for me, something that really didn't hold any appeal. I think all of that was wrong because I assumed, based on my limited understanding all those years ago, that there wasn't anything to learn. There wasn't anything to enjoy even from Jane Austen. And hopefully you're laughing at me because you knew that was wrong from the get-go, but I hope that you think about what you don't like and you reconsider. Maybe you're missing out. Maybe you've written off a whole genre or type of fiction or even nonfiction as completely irrelevant and unlikely to engage you. You might be wrong. And you know what? This is why being wrong is so great. Because like I said, I have a whole back catalog of amazing work to enjoy that was written 200 years ago. And that's a real treasure. And that's not something we find every day. So the silver lining here is when you're bored, sometimes reconsider things that you didn't think were worthwhile because they might turn out to lead you to the next idea or the next insight.